Scientists at the National Center for Atmospheric Research tell us that the western part of the United States is feeling the effects of climate change more than the east right now. And certainly one part of the west where changes are becoming more tangible is the state of Arizona. As Sadie Babbitts reports, researchers are looking at the region's archaeological past to help understand the new present and the likely future.
Ken Cole's eyes twinkle when he talks about ancient trash heaps. He's a research ecologist, and he studies middens, centuries-old stashes left behind by desert pack rats. Cole holds one in his hand that's more than 2,000 years old.
This fossil here is from Whitmore Wash. This is a place 100 kilometers upriver from Lake Mead. And this is one of the ways that we're studying how plants react to climate change.
This midden is a treasure trove of desert ecology, a nest of seeds, twigs, leaves, even feces, all glued together by viscous 1,000-year-old rat urine.
If this is under a ledge where it doesn't get any rainfall falling on it, then it's just going to stay there forever. And the plant bits are not going to decompose, because while they're encased in this crystallized rat urine, they're essentially mummified.
Cole analyzes his samples here at the USGS Southwest Biological Science Center in Flagstaff. Some of the middens date back to the end of the last glacial period. Scientists know that at that time, plants and animals were on the move.
If you get the climate warming suddenly, like it did 11,600 years ago, plants will adjust very rapidly when moving uphill, say to a mountaintop, but more slowly when moving northward a long distance.
During that last warming period, the junipers, the scrubby plant down in the Grand Canyon, died off. Young juniper plants migrated up to the rim of the canyon in search of the cooler temperatures they favor. Researchers observe something similar happening today in northern Arizona. Biologist Neil Cobb drives his Toyota truck up a snow-covered mountain road. Cobb loves this land, this living laboratory. He leads the Miriam Powell Center for Environmental Research in Flagstaff. As part of his work, he's been cataloging dead pinyon pines up here. It's earned him the nickname Dr. Death.
I came here in 85. You'd be very hard-pressed to find a dead pinyon or juniper anywhere. And then 2002 hit, and we just had spectacular mortality, at least with pinyon.
In 2002, Arizona was 6 years into a severe drought that continues today. Then, bark beetles multiplied in the drought-stressed trees, finishing the pinyons off.
Hi, Dork.
Today, what was a closed woodland has turned to open, scrubby juniper.
And you can see we're actually walking through it now, so almost every live tree you see are junipers. All of the carcasses are pinyons. It used to be a more 50-50 or 60% pinyon, 40% juniper. And now it's almost pretty much 100% juniper.
Cobb, who has asthma, brushes past live junipers, stepping over some downed trees. Some critters have had a field day with all this death. As the trees died, they filled with insects, and the dead trunks are peppered with woodpecker holes. But mice and birds that used to feed on the pine nuts here must have gone somewhere else for food.
What will happen to these communities underneath these dead trees? Will invasive species come in? If something like cheatgrass moves in underneath these trees and then alters the fire regime so that we get a lot more fires, that could really permanently affect the ecosystem.
Cheatgrass isn't here yet. Drought has so far kept this western scourge at bay. But pinyon shows no signs of return yet.
As an ecologist, it's exciting to see change like this. It's very humbling to see something so drastically happen over a very short period of time.
Back in the office, research ecologist Ken Cole's climate models show Arizona's signature pinyon trees will vanish from the state within this century. Cole says they'll take root instead in northern New Mexico and Colorado.
Most of the major plant species, I think, like a pinyon pine that has a very wide distribution, or creosote bush that has a very wide distribution, I think they are very adaptable to different climates. They're spread in a wide variety of places. I don't think they'll have any problem. It's the more rare species.
Like the famed Joshua trees in Joshua Tree National Park over the border in California. Cole predicts these trees will migrate out of the park that bears their name. That's the future. The present is fire. Last year was the most severe in a series of intense fire years. 9 million acres burned throughout the country, including Arizona. Air tankers are more and more a common sound. They fly at all hours of the day, sometimes days at a time. If you're lucky, from a distance, you watch them drop bright orange-red fire retardant. Less lucky, and you see the flames or feel engulfed in the smell of burning wood and falling ash.
We've always had big fires.
George Werthner is an ecologist and editor of a new book on wildfire.
But one of the things that global warming is doing is increasing or exaggerating some of those conditions. In other words, warming prolongs the drying season, keeps the humidity lower. Warming, in a lot of cases, extends drought. And then you'll also tend to get an increase in the velocity of winds. So all the conditions that make for big fires are increased by global warming.
The National Interagency Fire Center says the country's fire season is now year-round. And in Arizona, that fire season is partly fueled by drought. Arizona's drought has dropped reservoir levels at Lake Powell, which provides water and power to people throughout the Southwest. Bruce Hungate directs the Western Regional Center of the National Institute of Climatic Change Research.
We can't say with any certainty that this specific drought is due to more CO2 in the atmosphere. But what we can say is this is a really extreme drought. It's consistent with what the types of responses in the climate system that we ought to expect from climate change.
The desert Southwest may have been settled during an uncharacteristically wet period, giving Westerners a false impression of what's normal. Climate change may magnify this harsh reality, and that worries biologist Neil Cobb.
If the drought continues and temperatures increase and they exacerbate that drought, it looks bleak for a lot of ecosystems. And the only thing I can see really changing that is increased precipitation.
And that's where climate models don't help much yet. Ken Cole explains there's no consensus on how much rain the desert sky will yield in future years.
Some of the models would suggest that this drought may be a permanent feature of our new climate. Other models don't really see that happening. They see perhaps an increase in summer rainfall, some even an increase in winter rainfall. But regardless of what the rainfall is doing, most of the models, or all of the models, show significant increases in temperature.
Increase in temperature. That's a sobering prospect in Arizona, especially in Phoenix, the nation's sixth largest city, which already bakes at over 100 degrees every afternoon, all summer long. For Living on Earth, I'm Sadie Babbitts in Flagstaff.